Now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, if there's one thing we can know for sure, the Bible tells us that sexual obscenity and even sexual insanity will be prevalent, even rampant, in the last days. Of course, Jesus himself talked about as it was in the days of Noah. We're told that the events of Sodom and Gomorrah will be revisited on the world, and we certainly have that. We're going to look at this today. We're going to look at sort of the seamy side of the world elite, the Illuminati, and their perverted sexuality. A lot of people ask, is this a subject worthy? Well, the Bible has things to say about homosexuality, and we'll get to what the Bible has to say about it. Quite remarkable things, even warnings. You know, some say in the book of Daniel, the prophecies of the great prophet Daniel are, in one case, about homosexuality. It says of the last day's world ruler that he would have no regard for the desires of women. Interesting, isn't it? He'll have no regard for the desires of women. I want to propose to you today that the Illuminati elite are almost predominantly homosexuals. Vicious, butch homosexuals. They're given to fantastic homosexual orgies. They surround themselves with lesbian women. And they do horrible things when they're out of the public limelight. I believe the spotlight ought to be shined on these men. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics of their sexual activities, because I think that's vulgar and degrading and is obscene. But we're going to name names today, and you're going to be surprised. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be flabbergasted. We're going to name some names that go all the way up into the White House, into the Supreme Court of the United States. We're going to talk about some of the world rulers of old, men that you may never have suspected were homosexual activists. We're going to look at serial killers, and you will find that all of the monsters who are serial killers throughout history have been homosexuals. Isn't that reason enough for us to avoid these people? Doesn't that make us understand why in the Old Testament the penalty for sodomy, for homosexuality, was to be stoned to death? God knows of the utter wickedness of these men and women who are lesbians. And we're going to expose them, and I think you're going to be shocked. You know, if anybody would ask me who were the most monstrous of men in the just ended 20th century, I would have to say probably the three most wicked men were no doubt, or four, actually, we could name four. Three of them were communists, one was a Nazi. The three communists far outrank the Nazi in terms of being evil. And I'm talking about Vladimir Lenin, Leon Trotsky, and Joseph Stalin of Soviet Russia, all Jewish homosexuals. Did you just get what I told you? All of these men were homosexuals. Vladimir Lenin, in the archives that have now been published since the fall of the Iron Curtain in the days of Gorbachev, we now know that Vladimir Lenin was a homosexual and wrote love letters to his male boyfriends in the Communist Party throughout Europe. We know that Karl Marx also carried on affairs with other men. Karl Marx. So Marx, who gave us Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto, this decadent man who plunged the world into the butchering and the killing of scores of millions of innocent men, women, and children, mostly Christians, I might add, throughout the Soviet Empire and Europe and on into Red China, were nothing more. This was a band of communist, Jewish, Zionist, homosexual thugs. What happens if such men gain control of the United States? You say, well, that would be an impossibility. Oh, really? Oh, really? What if I were to tell you that Bill Clinton was a homosexual thug? Would you believe me? What if I were to tell you that George W. Bush is a homosexual thug? Would you believe me? Of course, you would not. But it would be true. Bill Clinton, of course, had been sodomized himself since he was a young man. The Rockefellers and the other clans there in the state of Arkansas that used that state for their little sexual paradise. And he was part of this group. They brought him into the Demolays, the Masonic Youth Group, which is named after a flaming homosexual, Jacques Desmoulins, who was burned at the stake after he had signed a confession of his homosexual pedophile activities. He was burned at the stake for his blasphemy against God and for sodomy. And now Freemasonry has named its youth group after him. They're so proud to be Desmoulins. In fact, young Bill Clinton in 1997 was honored as the International Alumnus of the Year by the Desmoulins organization. Bill Clinton enjoyed having perverted kinky sex with women and then beating them, abusing them. Miss Grayson, a former Miss America, has said she was beaten up by him. And there were other women who testified that he would smack them around and beat them. Martin Luther King. Now we have Martin Luther King holiday every year in honor of a man who was a homosexual who surrounded himself with other homosexuals. And you'll have to ask the question why Jesse Jackson was one of his top lieutenants. Martin Luther King surrounded himself, but do you think that he had no women? Oh, yes, these men love women. They love to beat and abuse women. Just like Bill Clinton did Mrs. Broderick. He beat her up, bloodied her lip after he had raped her. The night before he was assassinated, his own chief biographer, Ralph Abernathy, who was the number two man right behind the leader, Martin Luther King, in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, in his autobiography, Reverend, the Reverend Ralph Abernathy, admitted not only that Martin Luther King was queer, was a homosexual, but the very night before he was assassinated, he also had two white women in bed with him and slapped them and beat them up. They had to take him off the women. He was beating them to a pulp in his room. And then the next morning he gets dressed. He's lured out onto the balcony. And an assassin's bullet ended his life. The life of a pervert. J. Edgar Hoover had the tapes on it. He was always recording these sick, perverted homosexuals and their sexual activities. We know now that he often gave the tapes to Lyndon B. Johnson, who enjoyed such smut. Lyndon B. Johnson, I won't even talk about his sexual perversions. I can tell you, though, that Lyndon Johnson and his homosexual vice president, yes, homosexual vice president, Hubert Humphrey, and a man named Billy Graham enjoyed going to the YMCA and swimming naked, nude. The YMCA. You remember the song some years ago by the Village People? They were all homosexual perverts. They sang a song called YMCA. You can get your kicks. You can have fun at the YMCA. It was a code song, code words, coded language. What it meant was we who are gay go there and we are able to feast up on little boys. YMCA. The Village People sang that song. But Billy Graham, whose headquarters is in Minnesota, Hubert Humphrey, who was a senator from Minnesota and then became vice president, and Lyndon Johnson enjoyed the cavorting around in the pool, totally without clothes. I won't go into it any deeper, but I think you get the idea. And another person who enjoyed cavorting in the pool with naked young teenage boys, well, of course, was James Baker. Jimmy Baker, B-A-K-K-E-R. Reverend James Baker of the PTL Club. His wife, Tammy Faye, admits that she once had, and if you admit it once, well, how many times did you do it? She had a lesbian affair with another pastor's wife. She didn't enjoy it so much, she said. She only did it because her husband, Jim Baker, was having sex regularly with men and boys. His chief, Lieutenant Patrick Taggart, was queer as a $3 bill. And Jessica Hahn, who was paid $250,000 by the PTL Club and the Bakers to keep her mouth shut, says it wasn't the sex like a man and a woman does that so disgusted her about Jim Baker in that hotel room. It was the other things that he did to her. Did I not tell you, my friends, these people are kinky people who love to hurt women. They hate and despise women. And Jim Baker and his perverted homosexual fellow reverend went down to Florida and brought in Jessica Hahn, a former church secretary, to do some weird, kinky, evil, dirty, painful things to her because they enjoyed hurting women, and then they had sex with each other as men. Perverted. Everybody that was anybody at the PTL Club knew that their leader, Jim Baker, was a queer and that he had a home in Palm Springs, California, because that's where all the queers go and meet at the bars there. He was well known among all the gays in Palm Springs, California, where he and Tammy Faye had another mansion. And then we get to George W. Yes, George W. Bush is a bisexual man. I want to repeat that. George W. Bush is a bisexual man. You know, even Laura jokingly pointed this out. At the White House Correspondents' Dinner this year, in fact, just about 4 months ago, Laura got up and cracked a bunch of jokes. Filthy, dirty, perverse, obscene jokes. Yes, that's right. The First Lady, Laura, she basically intimated in her jokes that her husband, the president, George W., was not interested in having sex with her as a woman. And then she cracked a joke and said, yes, you've seen the Desperate Housewives series on TV? Ladies and gentlemen, she said, I am a desperate housewife. Meaning because her husband didn't want to have sex with her. You say, well, she was only joking. She went on to talk about, and you, if you don't believe me, I'm just telling you the truth. Go to the internet and you can find out. Look up White House Correspondents' Dinner speech or jokes by Laura Bush and you'll see it. You can even get a transcript of what she said. She says when they moved out to the Texas ranch, he didn't know much about horses and animals. And he went out to milk the cow and mistakenly milked the horse instead. But Laura says it turned out to be a male horse that he was milking. Now, friends, that is the most grotesque barnyard humor that you can get. And can you imagine all those White House correspondents and all those Hollywood stars were there and they were just laughing and guffawing and they just ate it up. And then she turned to her vice presidential wife mate, Lynn Cheney. And there Laura Bush said, there, friends, I saw it myself. I'm telling you, go get the transcript if you don't believe me. She says, Lynn Cheney and I and Condi Rice have been having a ball lately. We've been going to male strip joints, spending money. Now, friends, I knew that wasn't true. That was a joke. Let me tell you why. Because before she became the Second Lady of the United States, the wife of Vice President Dick Cheney, Lynn Cheney, wrote novels. And if you look real hard because they tried to pull them off the shelves, you can still find some of her steamy lesbian sex novels. Did you hear what I just said? That's right. Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, is the author of steamy lesbian sex novels. And then people wonder why Dick and Lynn Cheney's daughter is a avowed lesbian activist. How could it be that Lynn Cheney's daughter is a lesbian? You think it might have something to do with the fact that for years Lynn Cheney has been writing novels with steamy sex scenes between lesbians? We have a sick government. And now, the President of the United States, to please the Christian community, has given us a nominee to be Supreme Court Justice, John Roberts Jr. Remember, he said, I'm going to give you a strict constructionist. I'm going to give you a conservative. Now, I want you to understand something, dear friends. This Supreme Court, right, we have right now, has approved abortion and partial birth abortion again and again. Who do you think might be the judges who have been approving this? John Paul Stevens. Sandra Day O'Connor. Friends, listen to me very carefully. If it were not for the Supreme Court judges that were appointed to this highest position for life, that's right, it's for tenure, it's for life when you become the Supreme Court judge. Oh, there's only 9 in the United States, and they basically run this country when they want to. And it just so happens that all the votes that have given us murder by abortion have all been approved because of the judges put on the Supreme Court by Richard Nixon, a Republican, by Ronald Reagan, a Republican, by George Bush Sr., a Republican. In fact, David Souter from up in New England, I knew that he was going to be pro-abortion because he was on the board of directors of a hospital in New England that was the only hospital up there that would perform abortions. He was on the board of directors. And Bush got all the Christians to back him. And now this new Bush, this new junior Bush, is telling all the Christian community, this guy's going to be good for you, John Roberts Jr. He's going to be good for Christian values and issues. Now, let me tell you something about John Roberts Jr. A little shocker. He's a homosexual. Do I have to scream it out? No, I don't think so, because you're my dear friends. Listen to Power Prophecy. John Roberts Jr. nominated for the Supreme Court. He's a homosexual. But you say he was trotted out by George W. Bush, introduced to the nation, and he had his wife and a little boy and girl there. Why, he has 2 kids. John Roberts couldn't be a queer. He couldn't be homosexual. Look at that wonderful wife and 2 little kids. Oh, that. Well, you see, in public life, many homosexuals know they need to marry a woman. She's a trophy wife. They don't have sex with her. Goodness, no. She's just a trophy wife. They gotta have a wife or everybody will find out they're a homo. You can't be 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and never been married. You gotta have a wife. So they marry a wife. Well, Tex Morris, how did he get that little boy and that little girl that was introduced to the nation there, his wife and the 2 little kids were standing over there. It was in all the newspapers. That pretty little boy and girl, how did he get them? Have you ever heard of something called adoption? They're adopted kids. They're trophy kids. He and his wife were too old to have those kids anyway. She's too old to have kids that young. But they needed it. They were going to trot him out. It's been decided a long time ago he was going to be put on the Supreme Court of the United States. This wasn't something that came up overnight. The elite don't work like that. They work years ahead. And they told him what to do. Get married. Get a couple of kids through adoption. Trophy kids. In fact, the New York Times has been criticized recently because they've begun to investigate how he was able to obtain those kids. Evidently, some people pulled some shenanigans and doing the paperwork, and he illegally was able to obtain 2 kids. Can you imagine adopting 2 kids just so you can have them look good out there in public? I'm not a queer. Well, I've got 2 kids and a wife. The amazing thing is they think the Christians are so stupid, they wouldn't even know this guy has always been a homosexual. Now listen to me very carefully. Several years ago, the number one case that went before the Supreme Court, never had there been a case like this, came from the state of Colorado. Romer versus the state of Colorado. It seems that gay groups had all got together and they were attacking the people of Colorado. See, the people of Colorado had passed a resolution that, for example, said that gays would not have any special rights. they'll be just like anybody else. That gays, homosexuals, cannot force a landlord to rent them an apartment or a house. That resolution had been passed, been voted in by the people of the state of Colorado, that gays would not have special rights, would not be considered a quote-unquote legal minority. They needed a top-flight lawyer to fight this all the way to the Supreme Court. The homosexuals. It had been voted on by the people of Colorado. It's what the majority of the people wanted. Probably what the majority of Americans wanted. Famous case, the Romer case, R-O-M-E-R. They needed a lawyer that could fight, that had all the contacts. Oh, yes, you got to have contacts in the judicial field. Who do you think was the lawyer who represented the homosexual case? Would you like me to spell his name? His first name is John. That's J-O-H-N. His last name is Roberts, R-O-B-E-R-T-S, and you can add a junior to that. And he has two little adopted kids. And he's just been nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States by his homosexual pal, George W. Bush. That's impossible, Tex Mars. He couldn't have represented the gays. Oh, I've got more news for you. He didn't even charge them. He represented them free of charge. It was a case that any other legal law firm would have charged millions of dollars to take a case all the way to the Supreme Court. He did it for free. He believed in it so much. The rights of homosexuals. He argued all the way to the Supreme Court. Let's give them what they want. I'm John Roberts. They're my pals. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that a flaming homosexual with a trophy wife and trophy kids has been nominated to the Supreme Court by a homosexual president. And by the way, his chief advisor, Karl Rove, R-O-V-E, he's known in all the gay bars in Washington. He's a queer. And last year, the Democrat National Committee got Howard Dean to be head, and the Republican, they chose a new National Committee chairman, too. The chairman of the National Committee, the Republican National Committee, head of the Republican Party. He decides which candidates are going to get the most money and all that in their campaigns. His name is Kenneth Mehlman, M-E-H-L-M-A-N. He's Jewish. And he's a flaming homosexual. Now think about that. Dick Cheney, who's been accused of sexually abusing women, molesting kids in the book Transformation of America, has a wife, Lynn Cheney, the second lady of the United States, who writes lesbian sex novels. And then the first lady of the United States gets up and talks about her husband masturbating male horses and how... I don't even want to get into any more of that junk. And now we have John Roberts, who took on the most infamous of all homosexual cases. Even Sean Hannity, who's a big kiss-up Republican. The Fox News guy, Sean Hannity. Whatever the Republicans want, they get by Hannity. Even he was shocked. Shocked! When Roberts was nominated by Bush. He said, I can't believe it. But you know what? They had the top muckety-muck of the Southern Baptist Convention on national TV, Dr. Richard Land. And he was told about this, and he said, I steal back whoever George Bush wants. We Baptists are all for him. Richard Land is for the homosexual to be on the Supreme Court. The man who took the number one homosexual court case in America all the way to the Supreme Court and won for the homos and didn't even charge him a cent. And Richard Land said, he's our man. He's our Southern Baptist candidate. Oh, my goodness. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We got a lot more revelations for you, some unbelievable things right here on Power of Prophecy.
This is Tex Mars here again. You know, a lot of people think that homosexuals are just limp-wristed wimps. Sort of like Michael Jackson, you know? Yeah, they think they're just very effeminate. Not so. There's actually several kinds or personality characteristics of gay activists. Some of them are butches. Some of them like to wear leather and blue jeans and jack boots and ride motorcycles, and they're just vicious butch homosexuals. Of such was the Nazi Party of Germany. Scott Lively has written a book about it. It's called The Pink Swastika. Pink, of course, being the homosexual color. The Pink Swastika, homosexuality in the Nazi Party. He proves that, yes, the top leaders, Ernst Röhm, the head of the brown shirts of the Nazi Party, was a homosexual. And Adolf Hitler was also a homosexual. And Benito Mussolini of the Fascist Party of Italy was a homosexual. And you'll see much evidence of that in this book. Now, we want to send you this book for $15. Please add $2 shipping and handling. As for The Pink Swastika, Homosexuality in the Nazi Party. Now, I have to apologize. I wish I had a book called The Red Star, Homosexuality in the Communist Party. Because, after all, communists are known to be bigger homos than the Nazis. But you know, friends, when you get perverted to the level where you become a murderous Nazi or communist, it's only understandable that when your mind gets so perverted, God turns you over to a reprobate mind, the Bible says, and you're going to go into homosexual activity as well. This book, The Pink Swastika, Homosexuality in the Nazi Party, will expose the top officials of the Nazi Party as being flaming homosexuals who love to torture people. Now, we have a book, too, by Jerry Lina, L-I-N-A, called Under the Sign of the Scorpion. I believe it's about $30. $30. It's a very long book. It's been banned throughout America. You can't get it almost. I don't know of any bookstore that offers the book by Jerry Lina called Under the Sign of the Scorpion. It's the only book I know of that exposes the fact that Karl Marx, Joseph Stalin, and Vladimir Lenin, who founded the Communist Party in Russia, all were homosexual murderers. So you'll need to get that book. He talks in the book, for example, how Stalin was such a monstrous homosexual that one of his three wives committed suicide, and another one of his wives, Rosa Gaganovich, one time witnesses say that he ordered her in front of friends to strip all her clothes off and made her climb a tree totally naked. That's how much he loved to degrade women. We're talking about Joseph Stalin. Sounds a little bit like Bill Clinton, doesn't it? Well, they both were communists, and they both had reprobate minds, and they both were bisexual men. I say were, because Clinton is still alive, at least physically. He may be spiritually dead, of course, and is spiritually dead. Under the Sign of the Scorpion, $30. Please add $3 for shipping and handling. And then the book, The Pink Swastika, for $15 plus $2 shipping and handling. $17 postpaid. To get either one or both of these books, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673.
1-800-273-9673 here in the United States of America. Overseas, you can call us on our regular phone line. That's area code 512-263-9780. By the way, you can send us a check or a money order asking for these books. Just put a little note in telling us which book you want, Under the Sign of the Scorpion, $33 postpaid, or The Pink Swastika, $17 postpaid. And send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our program. Today's program is entitled Homosexual Barbarians. Homosexual Barbarians. You know, the news reports say that when George W. Bush visited Canada and he was with Prime Minister Chrétien, he complained and told Chrétien that it wasn't fair that Chrétien's leader of the press, the press spokesman, was so handsome. He said, your assistant for the press is gorgeous. Man, sure is not. He was talking about Scott McClellan, the White House press spokesman. But he was talking about what a gorgeous man who Prime Minister Chrétien had. They were comparing, you know, which one had the most, you know, gorgeous assistant. I think you get the gist of it, my dear friends. By the way, Karl Rove, according to Fox News, and I wouldn't have believed it with my own ears, except I actually saw Karl Rove being interviewed, and he was asked this question, is it true, I think the question was, is it true that George W. Bush, the president, has a special name, you know, nickname for you? And Rove had this sly smile, said yes. And the news reporter said, what is that name? Now remember, this is, of course, a Christian president. Is he not? Is he not a Christian? Why, he said the greatest philosopher who ever lived was Jesus Christ. That's what he said during the campaign. Of course he must be a Christian, George W. Bush. Karl Rove said, yes, the nickname the president has given me is Turd Blossom. Turd Blossom. Turdblossom. This man is a sick, sick man, George W. Bush. By the way, if you've seen the TV show America's Most Wanted, and that man is, in my books, is a great hero. Talk about your heroes. Adam Walsh is a great, great, great hero. Well, Mr. Walsh, John Walsh, his son was Adam. His son, this little boy, was abducted from a grocery store and taken out and killed by two homosexual pedophiles. Their names were Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas. Henry Lee Lucas said that he killed over 300 people, including little children. The Texas prison authority said they really didn't know how many he killed. He liked to brag and exaggerate, they said. They estimated that he was probably responsible for no more, listen to this, no more than 65 deaths. They took little Adam Walsh out. They sexually abused him. They cut off his head. Sick, sick men. Now, when George W. Bush was governor of the state of Texas, he had a hard-line policy. I believe in capital punishment, he said. Did you know that in all of his years as governor, he only commuted the death sentence of one prisoner? Just one. There were many like Carla Faye Tucker, who had become a Christian in a woman's prison, and she was a model prisoner for many, many years. As a young 17-year-old girl, she had committed a murder. Obviously, that's wrong. Obviously, that's a terrible thing. 17 years old, on drugs, under the influence of an older man, I think 24-year-old man. They went and robbed a couple, and she killed a woman. Now, it's hard to have pity for somebody, even if they were 17 and made a terrible, terrible mistake. It was a crime. She was on death row. She appealed to George W. Bush for clemency. She said, "I realize I'm guilty, and I know I do deserve the death penalty for what I've done." She said, "But for the past 12 or 13 years, I've cleaned up my life. I've been helping the prison chaplain. I've given my life to Jesus." Did you know that even the warden of that prison, the warden, wrote a letter to the governor, George W. Bush, asking that her sentence, the death sentence, she was supposed to get death by injection. He said, "Carla Faye Tucker is a calming influence here in this prison. She's a calming influence. She's a good role model for the other women. She is the best of Christians." Even the prison warden said so. Did you know that Pat Robertson of the 700 Club had met Miss Tucker and was convinced she was a legitimate, genuine, good Christian woman? And he wrote to George Bush and said, "Would you change her sentence as governor? Would you have the power to do to life in prison without parole? But don't give her death. It would actually help your prison system," he said, "to make an exception." George W. Bush just laughed. You say, "Tex, he didn't really laugh." Oh, yes, he did. I saw it on TV. He was asked by the reporter, "Mr. Carlson, Tucker Carlson." Mr. Carlson said, "Governor Bush," this was when he was governor, "I understand that Carla Faye Tucker, who had converted to Christianity, wrote you a letter and asked for you to change her sentence to life sentence without parole." George Bush says, "Yes, she did." Said, "Tell us exactly what she said to you in that letter." And George Bush pursed his lips and cracked a little smile and said, "She said in her letter, 'Please don't let them kill me.'" And he made fun of her. He literally made fun of Miss Tucker and sent her on to the death chamber. You may say, "Well, she deserved it." Okay. But I haven't given you the name yet of the man who he did commute the death sentence of. Henry Lee Lucas, the homosexual pedophile mass killer, serial killer, mass murderer, was the only man in the prison system of Texas during the terms of Governor George W. Bush to have his death sentence commuted to life. He died a peaceful death just a few years ago of a heart attack. Friends, when you have a satanic, perverted mind, and the Bible says that if you burn in your lust one man for another, that's the way Paul put it, call him effeminate, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. That means a totally, totally wicked, depraved, evil mind. Now let's talk about some other men who have depraved, wicked minds. Albert Pike, former Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, he wrote all their 33-degree ritual ceremonies, homosexual. He became a Confederate Civil War general, and he was indicted by federal grand jury after the war. They wanted him because he had led some Indians, yes, Indians, fighting for the Confederate cause, and they had scalped and cannibalized the bodies of Yankee prisoners. Alexander the Great was one of the greatest conquerors of all time, but he was also a homosexual. Nero hated Christians with a passion. He converted to Judaism. His wife was a Jewish woman. Nero was a bisexual, a homosexual. Caligula, that had the most grotesque sexual orgies and loved to see pedophiles rope around with little boys and love to see sexual tortures and killings of little boys. The Roman Emperor Caligula was homosexual. Beria, the head of the KGB secret police in Russia, was a pedophile and a homosexual. The Marquis de Sade, who loved to torture people while he was sexually abusing them, was a homosexual. And remember the story of Bonnie and Clyde? They made them look so heroic. Do you remember that? Made him look like a real man when he was out shooting people, robbing banks and such. Him and Bonnie. Oh, Clyde Barrow. What you didn't know was Clyde Barrow was a homosexual. They made him out to be a real man. He was a homosexual and a murderer. Lawrence of Arabia led the Arabs. They made a big movie of him. Peter O'Toole starred in it, won the Academy Award. Lawrence of Arabia, who led the Arabs toward their freedom from the colonialist masters. He was a homosexual who loved to abuse little Arab boys. J. Edgar Hoover, it's reported, was head of the FBI. He was the guy that taped Martin Luther King. And he must have known quite a bit about homosexual behavior, since he was one. And J. Edgar Hoover is reportedly once showed up at a party for gays and others wearing a woman's dress. He was also a transvestite. Noriega. Boy, what a macho man that guy was. Strong man down in Panama. He actually whacked his opponent's hands off with a machete. But he loved to kiss the young soldiers too much, they said. He was a bisexual. He was into voodoo and everything else. But evidently he turned against his homosexual friend, George Bush Sr., and it ended his career, and now he's in a federal prison here in the United States of America. There's all the Republicans that hang out at the Bohemian Grove every year. Oh, they all go there from Newt Gingrich to Colin Powell. Ronald Reagan hung out there. Oh, they all go down to the Bohemian Grove. And as Alex Jones has recorded in his tape, The Dark Secrets of the Bohemian Grove, which we offer on this TV show, they're all doing the most sordid, evil things. The old men, the old politicians that hang out there, and the young politicians. Richard Nixon went there one year, but, you know, Richard evidently was not gay. And they've released some of the Nixon tapes, you know, the Nixon Presidential Library and the National Archives. And on one of the tapes, he's telling his top assistant, H.R. Haldeman, and the second assistant, John Ehrlichman, they're in the Oval Office, they're carrying on a conversation. And they're talking about how much they despise homosexuals. This is on one of the Nixon tapes. And Nixon says, boy, if you want to see some fags, any homosexuals, go to that Bohemian Grove. I went there one year, he said. He said, man, I'll tell you, those fags, they were so thick down there. He said, when I shook hands with those dirty men, he said, I couldn't wait to wash my hands after shaking their hand. Just a bunch of dirty fags. He said, I'm never going down there again. He had just been asked a question. He'd been invited again as President of the United States to attend the Bohemian Grove. And I think his words were, well, I won't use the curse words, but no, no, no. He wasn't going to go there again. He wasn't going to shake hands with those fags, who, by the way, he said most of them were Jewish anyway. Hillary Rodham Clinton, of course, is a lesbian, homosexual activist. When she became First Lady, head of a gay organization, had a big rally in Washington, D.C., and said, now, finally, we have our own kind in office in the White House. Hillary Clinton, finally, we have somebody we can have sex with in the White House.
Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's what head of one of the feminist lesbian groups said. The National Organization for Women is considered the premier organization for feminism. Its leader is Kate Michelman. Kate Michelman. Pretty interesting, her name, Michael Mann. Yes, Michelman. She's a lesbian. She's shacking up with a woman. But before she was shacking up with a woman, she had to have a trophy husband. That's the way they do. The lesbians who are in high office have to have a trophy husband. Sorry to remind you of Mr. Guest, the husband of Liza Minnelli. Queer as a $3 bill, but they married and they could go to parties together. And then here in Texas, of course, we had Governor Ann Richards, but being that she was a flaming lesbian, she needed somebody to go to parties with her. So she got a playwright named Bud Schrake. Often they make a deal. A homosexual man will date, go out, and even marry a homosexual woman. Then they can go out and have sex with whoever they want to, and they neither one of them matter. But then to the public, they can proclaim, yes, we're a loving couple. Remind you of a couple that you know of? Anybody that you know of like that? Like named Clinton, C-L-I-T-O-N? Oh, yes. You know, a lot of people think that, again, now you have to be left-wing liberal to be queer. Not so. Not at all. Now, it is true that Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stone, he's a music group, is liberal. And Mick Jagger was asked who he enjoyed having sex with, and he said the one that he liked to have sex with the most was his male guitar player. He said, I love to run my tongue over his body. These are sick, sick people, dear friends. So when you see Mick Jagger prancing around on stage in some news piece, I assume you don't go to his concerts, you'll know that there's nothing but a skinny little fag up there. Yes, that's what he is. He's a skinny little fag. It goes on and on. Most of the Arab sheikhs, the sheikhs of Saudi Arabia and all the other countries, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, they're all gay. They're all pedophiles. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible. Most of the members of the CIA, the highest level of the CIA, are all gay. James Jesus Angleton was deputy director for many, many years. He was gay. $3 bill. Let's see who else we can talk about. And by the way, some of these people that really, you think they're really butch. For example, a man named John Walker Lind, L-I-N-D-H. He was arrested just a few years ago. Remember him? They call him the American Taliban. He went over to Afghanistan and he was going to help the Taliban, you know, set up their empire and all that stuff. And then he was arrested, brought back to America, put on trial. He's in prison now. Just a young man, John Walker Lind. He's a homosexual. That's why he went over there. Friends, a lot of these homosexuals join the military. I know. I spent a lot of time getting rid of them when I was a military commander. That was my job, find out who was queer and throw them out of the Air Force. And I sort of enjoyed my work. I didn't make a big campaign of it, but believe me, when I found out they were queer, they were gone. They were gone. No doubt about it. Let's go over the list again. Richard Speck, he was a serial killer. He killed 7 young women in one apartment. They were all young nurses going to school and such. He broke into their apartment, murdered them all. Did he do it because he wanted to rape them? No. He just wanted to kill women. That's what homosexual wackos do. They hate women. Most of the rapists of women do not do it for the sex. They want to hurt the women. John Wayne Gacy wanted to hurt the men. How many did he kill? 26 young men, buried many of them under the floor of his house. Jim Jones, pretended to be a Christian, took a whole group of people down to Guyana in Central South America, induced them to kill themselves supposedly by drinking poison-laced Kool-Aid. Actually, most of them were shot by the CIA, were actually murdered. Jim Jones, though, was a homosexual. He was a homosexual. Friends, these people are murderous. They are indeed murderous. And that's what the Bible says about him. You know, Dr. Paul Cameron wrote a book called Violence and Homosexuality. Dr. Paul Cameron noted that the top U.S. male serial killers were all homosexuals. He says we have motorcycle gangs, black leather boys, the rough trade, chains, torture, slaves, sadism. Hitler rose on the back of his stormtroopers, and they were led by from the top by a gang of homosexuals headed by Ernst Röhm. Isn't that interesting? Listen to this. This is from a news service. Did you know that the five leading serial killers in the United States were all homosexuals? Donald Harvey killed 37 people. John Wayne Gacy, I said 26. I was seven young men, too short. John Wayne Gacy killed 33. By the way, he loved to dress as a clown and visit hospitals where little boys were convalescing from sicknesses. He was asked about his clown suit by the police. And let me quote John Wayne Gacy. He said, quote, "A clown could get away with murder." There was Patrick Wayne Kearney, 32 murders. Dean Corll, 27 murders. Juan Corona, out in California, 25 murders. Bruce Davis, 28 murders. Steve Kraft, 16 murders. William Bonin, 14 murders. Jeffrey Dahmer, at least 17 murders. Homosexuality. You know, I've studied the ancient mystery religions of Greece, Babylon, Rome, Egypt. I've studied Freemasonry, the OTO, and many of the other satanic and Masonic cults and secret orders. I've studied the Order of Skull and Bones, and you know what I found out? Most of their members of all these groups are homosexual. Didn't George W. Bush, as a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, lie naked in a casket in a dark room and reveal the most intimate details of his sex life? They're all homos, friends. We have a government of the United States that's populated mostly by homosexuals. It is an incredible thing. Mario Cuomo was called Cuomo the Homo, when he was governor of New York. I wonder why. Rudy Giuliani dressed up as a woman for the gay pride parade. I wonder why. I think you know the reason why. Kinsey, who gave us the Kinsey sex report, turns out to be a pedophile. Friends, when Satan gets into groups like Freemasonry, the Knights Templar, the OTO, the Order of Skull and Bones, he is going to convert these people to not only his way of religion, but his way of sex. And that's why, from Hitler to Stalin to John Wayne Gacy to the Butch, let's go kill some people in Iraq today, George W. Bush, they're all gays. Bill Clinton, who didn't mind at all bringing death, bloodshed to Yugoslavia. Member of the Demolays. And the Demolays were founded, name-wise at least, by the Sovereign Grand Commander, Jacques Demolay. A queer. Friends, let me tell you something. God's way is the only way. And we need to expose these things because I am afraid we've reached the stage where we've surpassed Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, I believe we must pray for our country. We must pray for its leaders. pray that their souls will be changed and they will become new men, real men, and leave their homosexuality far behind. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. I pray you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.